Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
I want to start a short series this morning that we'll do over the next couple of weeks, focusing on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think it's true that the Holy Spirit is often the most ignored person in the church. There are many churches and denominations around the world who don't teach on the Holy Spirit at all or make no mention of Him. There are others who perhaps touch on aspects of the Holy Spirit from time to time. And there are still other Christians and churches who believe that the Holy Spirit is not relevant to us today in the modern world that we live in. But the Bible is very clear on who the Holy Spirit is and the role that He plays not only in the world but also in the church and in our personal lives as well. And I've titled the message, Living Life on Holy Spirit Lane. Living Life on Holy Spirit Lane. You know, there are many different lanes that you can choose to run your life in, or different lanes that you can build a house on or buy property in. But the lane that you ultimately choose to live your life in or on will determine how you live. It will determine what you prioritize in life. And eventually, it'll also determine where you end up at the end of the time that God allocates to us. There are many people in life who choose to live life in the fast lane. Those are people who are always in a hurry, always frantically trying to get somewhere new. There are also people who live the best part of their lives on memory lane, always talking about the good old days. Oh, the old days were so good. No, you've just developed amnesia. You've forgotten that the old days were just like these days. People always live in the past. There are those who spend the best part of their life living on Wisteria Lane, made famous by Desperate Housewives. Those who live their lives through their TV screen. It's amazing for how many people TV becomes their reality. They feel the same emotions that people in the TV shows and the soap operas feel, and they lie awake at night wondering what's going to happen tomorrow in a fake TV show. Then there are those perhaps who live life on Apricot Lane, famous American boutique store, perhaps symbolizing those who are always chasing the material things in life, the new fashions, always wanting to be trendy. Maybe there are those who also live life on Milky Lane, always pursuing the pleasures and the luxuries and the niceties of life. Then maybe there are those who also live life on White Hart Lane, former home of the greatest football team on the planet, Tottenham Hotspur. I just felt the Lord speaking through me in that moment. It was a Holy Spirit moment there. But maybe symbolic of people whose lives are consumed through the success of their sports teams. I'm amazed how many people's lives and emotions and well-being is attached to whether their team wins or loses on a weekend. But I want to suggest that there is a better way and a better place to live and position your life on Holy Spirit Lane. That represents those in life who live in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reality is that when you and I take up residence on Holy Spirit Lane, well, guess what? The Holy Spirit begins to take up residence in our own lives. And unfortunately, for too many Christians, we treat the Holy Spirit as an accessory to our faith or an add-on to our beliefs, kind of like a handbag that you might pull out every now and then, or a nice jacket that you might pull out on a winter's day. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit wants to take charge of our lives. He wants to live in us and through us. And so just over these next couple of weeks, I want to just focus a bit on a few areas. Firstly, on seeing, well, who is the Holy Spirit? What role does He play in our lives and in the church? How should we respond to the Holy Spirit? But then also being aware and mindful of the power that is available to us as Christians through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the first thought this morning is this. Number one, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. I think there's often confusion amongst Christians as to, well, who exactly is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is no less than the Father or the Son. He's not inferior in any way to the Father or Jesus the Son. God is a triune God. He's described in Scripture as a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But there are some people who object and say, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, that may be true, but neither is the word Bible in the Bible. And yet we have no doubt as to the authority of the Bible in our lives. A couple of verses of passages, there's many of them in the Scriptures, but just to highlight a few that make known the Holy Spirit as God. Genesis 1:26, at the time of creation, it says, then God said, let us, everyone say us. Notice plural, let us make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. Us, ourselves. Who's God speaking of here? People have said, well, maybe God was speaking to the angels. Let us make human beings in our image. Well, God couldn't have been speaking to the angels because the angels are created beings themselves. They had no part to play in creation. They were not involved in creating. And God is simply speaking of himself in plural form. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three involved at creation. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, before Jesus ascended to heaven after he was raised from the dead, he gives his disciples the Great Commission, and he says to them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus mentioning there that our faith is made complete when we have relationship with the Trinity God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as believers, we understand that we've received the love of God the Father, we've received the forgiveness of Jesus the Son, but then we also need to live and receive the empowerment that the Holy Spirit has for our lives. We are made complete through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it says there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the property to the apostles, claiming that it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do such a thing like this? Now notice here, you weren't lying to us, but to God. So making the link that you lied to the Holy Spirit, and by doing so, you were lying to God. So there's no doubt from these passages, and there are a number of others as well, that the Holy Spirit is God. He is as much God as the Father is God, and he is as much God as Jesus the Son is God. And the reason it's so important for us to understand that is when we recognize that he is God, it's less likely that we'll begin to ignore him, and we are more likely to make him part of our daily walk as Christians. Can you say amen to that? The second thought is this. The Holy Spirit is he, not it. The Holy Spirit is he, not it. It is something from a movie, a clown, not the Holy Spirit. Every reference in the Bible, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, whenever the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit, it always refers to him as he. He's never referred to as it. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's not just some idea that some philosopher or the universe has conjured up. The Holy Spirit is not just a mystical force like the Star Wars force. He's not just some lifeless entity, and therefore he cannot be referred to as it. You know, it's interesting that Jehovah's Witnesses, who I'm sure all of you have had a knock on your gate or your door at some stage as they come two by two knocking on your door with their Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses Bible is known as the New World Translation. It looks like our Bibles, and for the most part, it is word for word the same as our Bible. However, their translation has made a few changes there that most people will think, well, that's just a, you know, it's neither here nor there, maybe a small technicality, but yet it has eternal consequences attached to it. And one of the things they've changed in their doctrine and in their Bibles is every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned, it's been changed to refer to God's active force. So instead of saying the Holy Spirit, it'll say God's active force. And they never referred to the Holy Spirit as He, but always as it. Now, again, you might say, well, isn't that just semantics? He, it, it's all really the same. No, it's not really the same. I'll give you an example. How many of you are husbands here today? Come on, you can be more enthusiastic about that. Some of you are like, yeah, I've got my ball and chain with me. Come on, how many of you are husbands? How many of you are grateful to be husbands? Now, for those of you who are husbands, imagine for the next couple of weeks or maybe for the next season in your marriage, you decided to refer to your wife as it instead of she. Because it's really just semantics, isn't it? It's she. Yeah, I woke up this morning next to it. And then I asked it to go make me some breakfast, and it gave me a funny look back. And let me prophesy your future for you. It will not go very well with you, not at all. Why? Because there's a big difference between he or she and it. You see, the reality is you can't have relationship with it. The same is true with God. We cannot have relationship with the Holy Spirit if He's simply an it. You can't worship it. We can only worship the Holy Spirit when we see Him as the third person of the Trinity. You also can't be led by it. You can only be led by Him. And you know, the reality is John 16, 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus teaching, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. Every reference in the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as He. And just like we never refer to God the Father as it, we certainly don't refer to Jesus as it. It died for me on the cross. I mean, you wouldn't even think of speaking like that. I mean, think about it. It was raised from the dead. No, He was raised from the dead. Let's not diminish the Holy Spirit to an inanimate object by referring to Him as it. He. Amen. Number three is this. The Holy Spirit leads us towards the truth. He leads us towards the truth. Our world has become very confused about what is true and what is not. Truth has been given to us in many different variations. People have different opinions about it. And as a result, truth according to the world standard keeps changing. And many Christians themselves have become confused about what is actually true. But the thing when it comes to moral truth is that it never changes. It can't change. It is true for all people in all places at all time. And if something can change, well, then it can't be truthful. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, but when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. See, what people in our world do nowadays is because we all want to be diplomatic and we all want to be seen as tolerating of everything. We say, okay, well, you determine your truth. I'll determine what is truth for me, and then we'll all get along with one another. But all you are doing is you are living a lie, because there can only be one measure of truth. God's measure of truth is truth. And one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to lead us towards God's truth. There's that verse that many of you would know, John 8, 32. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what will the truth set you free from? Well, the truth will set you free from lies. It'll set you free from the lies of the devil. And without the Holy Spirit's guidance and empowerment in our lives, we will always tend to gravitate to that which is a lie and that which is untruthful. And so again, Christians have become confused about issues that God in His Word is very clear upon. We've become confused about same-sex marriage. Well, maybe, you know, did God really say? We've become confused about issues like abortion. Well, surely people can do whatever's right. It seems like the loving thing to do. We become confused about living together and having sex before marriage. Well, we live in a modern world, you know, things have changed. No, they haven't. Oh, yeah, but surely all roads lead to heaven, and as long as you believe something and you're sincere about it, surely it'll be okay. Well, that is not the truth that God teaches. That is the world's distortion of what truth is. And unfortunately, even as Christians, when you live without the Holy Spirit, what happens is you end up believing the world's lies, and they end up causing you to live outside of God's will for your life. Billy Graham put it like this. He said, the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. You know, probably the easiest way to explain it is like this. If you've bought a new car recently, many of the new cars nowadays come equipped with sensors. So particularly when you are reversing or when you're trying to park in a parking lot, and when your car gets too close to the barriers, all of a sudden the sensors start going beep, 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 beep. The closer you get, the quicker they beep. And what they do is they remind you and they warn you that you are getting too close to something that is actually dangerous for you. The Holy Spirit works the same way in our lives. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit as believers, when you are led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, those senses in your conscience begin to work and operate. So when you start believing something that is actually not a truth from God, when you actually start thinking in a way that's going to take you off course, when you start believing one of the devil's lies about your life, the senses go off, beep, 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 beep. And you know, hang on, I'm about to go somewhere that is dangerous for me. I'm about to embrace a lie for my life. Let me react and respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting, and let me begin to get my life back on track so that I don't end up falling off the edge there. But see, the reality is without the Holy Spirit in our lives, working in us and through us, we will always default to the lies of the enemy. But the more access we give to him, the more we begin to embrace God's truth, the more we begin to love God's truth, and the more we begin to live according to God's truth. One of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit will always be to lead us towards God's truth. The fourth thing today is this, is that the Holy Spirit helps us to live better. The Holy Spirit helps us to live better. You know, God hasn't just kind of lumped us in this world and said, figure it out on your own. No, he's given us his word, the Bible, but then he's also given us the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Holy Spirit always acts on the preaching and the teaching of the Word. And as we embrace the Word of God for our lives, we begin to gain access to the Holy Spirit's power in our lives as well. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this auditorium, in this service. And I would imagine that most of you are trying to live life better. Most of you are trying to be better from day to day and from week to week. Most of you, I would assume, are trying your best to serve God as best as you can and to please God in what you do. I'm pretty sure none of you woke up this morning and you thought, right, today I've got a 3-step plan to make my life worse off than it was yesterday. 3 steps so that at the end of the day, my life is going to be a mess. Normal people don't think like that. If you've been thinking like that, you're not normal, but we don't think like that. Most people, most Christians are trying to be better, are trying to please God more. I really believe that. Yet, so often, we feel that we are powerless to change things in our lives. Isn't that true? So many Christians live defeated as, oh, well, this is my lot in life. I love Jesus. But we feel powerless to change things in our lives. I wonder perhaps if there are some of you today who are struggling with bad habits, with addictions that you want to change, you want to be free from. But every time you try, you just think, I can't do it. It's too hard. Maybe there are some of you today who are overcome with anxiety. You are always stressing and worrying and freaking out about things. And no matter how much you try not to do that, you keep defaulting to that. You say, I want to change, but I can't. Or how many of you are saying, I know I need to read my Bible more. I need to spend more time in the Word. But every time I open it, there's distractions and I glaze over and I can't. Or maybe some of you, maybe young people, maybe not so young people. I really want to stop sleeping around. I know it's not right. I know it's not God's best. But, you know, I go to all these parties and they there and I'm there and clothes come off. You know how it goes. Yeah, I can't. Or perhaps you've realized that you're incredibly negative and I wish I could stop being negative. But I find every time I open my mouth, bleh, I vomit on someone. Bleh, negative. Or, you know, I really want to stop losing my temper because I'm busy and I'm stressed and then bruh, I explode and to my kids and my spouse and I'm trying not to, but I can't. Well, I'm really trying to get out of debt, but, you know, every time I go to Gateway, it's like my credit card leads me there and I can't. I just can't. Been trying not to look at pornography and access all those websites, but every time I open my computer, they pop up, and before you know it, there we go. You know, there's bad news and good news. The bad news is on your own, you will never overcome these things. Yes, you love Jesus. Yes, you're in church. You might even be serving in church, but you will always struggle to overcome them. The good news is that through the help and the encouragement and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, not only can you overcome these things, but by God's grace, you will overcome these things. Because one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to help us live better. But I think this is where the challenge comes in. Genesis 1 verse 1 to 2, the first two verses of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering. Everyone say hovering. Was hovering over the surface of the waters. You'd know it then goes on to say that then God spoke, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit began to create according to the Word of God. You know what I've realized? The guys can just leave that up for a moment. It's interesting that in the beginning, for as long as the Spirit was only hovering, as long as the Spirit was just there or thereabouts, everything was still empty, everything was formless, and there was darkness. And the reason that's quite profound, because I think that sums up the life of many Christians. Yeah, I love Jesus, but my life still feels like it has no meaning to it. You know, I come to church, but I always still leave feeling so empty. My life has no direction and purpose and I want to have more faith, but it always seems like there's darkness. There's always discouragement. There's always depression. There's always anxiety. There's always these issues that are clouding my life. You see, for as long as you and I choose to only let the Holy Spirit hover on the surface of our lives, that will always be the state of our lives. Darkness, emptiness, formlessness. But see, the Holy Spirit does not want to just hover on the surface of your life. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to penetrate your life. He wants to infiltrate your life. He wants to take possession of your life. He wants to have access to every area of your life. But some of us don't want to give Him that access. I love what Louis Giglio says. Great leader of Passion Church, he says, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to sleep on your couch or in your guest room. He wants a set of keys to your house. But many of us don't want to give Him keys to our house, because when we give Him keys, He starts rearranging things. He wants access to all areas of your life, not just the areas that you think you've got under control. He wants access to the messy and the broken areas of your life. A.W. Tozer put it like this. He said, the Holy Spirit never enters a man and then lets him live like the world. You can be sure of that. And I think that is probably the main reason why so many people prefer for the Holy Spirit just to hover. Because the moment you give him full access to your life, he wants to change every area of your life. When he moves into the neighborhood of your life, your house will undergo a complete renovation. He takes everything that is old. He takes everything that is sinful. He takes everything that is ugly. He takes everything that is outdated. He takes everything that is messed up and broken. And he says, out with the old and in with the new. But for so many of us, we are so comfortable with the old. Brokenness has become normal for too many of us. And we think, well, this is just my lot in life. And because of that, we go through life loving Jesus, being in church, but we never ever deal with our mess and our brokenness. We never move from victim to victors. But the Holy Spirit has more for your life. He wants to take possession of your life. But you have to give him permission. He's always hovering. From before creation, he's been hovering. But he doesn't want to just hover on your life anymore. He wants you to say, Holy Spirit, would you come in? I give you full access to my life. Because what the Holy Spirit, when he does that, is he helps us to live better. The fifth thing is this. Is the fuller we are of self, the emptier we are of the Holy Spirit. Are you alive today? Some of you seem like you're taking strain this morning. Maybe you're just deeply focused and putting your spiritual face on. The fuller we are of self, the emptier we are of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that one, very good at the back. John 3:33, John the Baptist speaking of Jesus, says, for this one sent by God speaks God's words, for God's Spirit is upon him without measure or limit. Bible telling us that Jesus had the Spirit without limit or without measure. Now think about Jesus. Jesus was fully God. But when he stepped down from heaven to earth, he emptied himself of all his godliness and he became fully man. So Jesus had a flesh body just like us. He had arms and legs and muscles and sinews and bone just like us. He had feelings just like we do. He had emotions like we do. He experienced pain just like we do. But yet we read about Jesus in the scriptures of doing all these miraculous things. He turns water into wine. He then walks on water. He heals the blind. He casts out demons. He does miracles on a daily basis. How did he do it? We say, oh, well, he was Jesus. Well, yes, he was Jesus. But the Bible tells us why he was able to do that. Because he had the Holy Spirit without limit or without measure. But see, Jesus first had to empty himself of who he was, so that he could be filled up with the power of God. The fuller we are of self, the emptier we are of the Holy Spirit. I want to illustrate something for you this morning. Can the guys just move the pulpit for me, please? I've got four glasses here. They all represent our lives. And every single one of us here is represented by one of these four glasses. This big red jug is the Holy Spirit. If you were wondering what he looked like, well, it probably doesn't look like this, but this represents the Holy Spirit today. Now, what the Holy Spirit does, as the Bible tells us, is he hovers. He's always hovering, looking where he can take up residence, looking where he can infiltrate. And then he comes to the first life here, and he says, you know what, I've got so many great things for you. God's got ways for you to be used and change the world around you. But every time I come, he's like, there's no room for me. You are so full of yourself still. The Holy Spirit says, I went onto your Instagram account this morning and all I saw was pictures of you. This way, that way, upside down. Or it was all you. Let me just say this, because somebody needs to hear this. Let me say this. Your Instagram and Facebook account is the biggest reflection of what is important in your life. Now you can This is in brackets. This is not part of the message. This is in brackets. You can justify that how you like. Oh, it's my job. Oh, it's my career. I am my brand. I am my product. Rubbish. Your Instagram account tells you at one glance what is the most important thing in your life. That was in brackets. Now let's get back to the message. So the Holy Spirit's hovering. He says, I've got so much for you. But until you begin to empty yourself of self, there's no power that is available for your life. So he moves on to the next one. And here he finds a person who's begun to submit some areas of their life to the Holy Spirit. And he says, great, I can begin to do work there. I would love to do more, but there's more of you than there is of me there. But the work has begun. Then he moves on to the next person. And he says, well, here's someone who's really on fire for God, and they're beginning to prioritize the things of God and the Holy Spirit. But there's still a limit there. And then he finds the next person. The one who's made a decision. As Paul had said, I've died to the things of this world. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Lord, I want your agenda for my life. Remove anything. Create a clean heart in me, Lord. If there's anything that offends you in my life, point it out to me so I can get rid of it. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I've found the person I'm looking for. And he begins to fill you. And he begins to fill you. And because he's the Spirit without limit or measure, your life begins to overflow. And it begins to touch other people. And you begin to impact the world. And everything around you begins to change by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be this person. You notice the difference? The difference in the lives? The fuller you are of self, the emptier you will be of the Holy Spirit. God can only fill us to the degree that we empty ourselves of us. There's a great quote by Andrew Murray that'll come up on the screen. It says, men ought to seek with their whole hearts to be filled with the Spirit of God. Without being filled with the Spirit, it is utterly impossible that any individual Christian or a church can ever live or work as God desires.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.